Welcome into the Believe in Bucks podcast. I'm your host, Patrick Crevity. That's the co-host, Luca Costa. And today we have finally made it to our draft preview episodes. We're fully diving into the draft. It's on June 26th and the 27th. So it's just about 3 weeks away. So it's fast approaching, and it's obviously something that the Bucks are looking at to fill a ton of holes in their roster.
Because 2 weeks. Because 26, 9, 15, 26.
Oh, okay. It seems a lot farther, though. Yeah, it does seem a lot farther. Yeah, I guess I was thinking, I guess you would be right. No, it's 17 days.
Still two.
Minus 9. Okay. That's close to 3 weeks. Look, we've certainly established we cannot do math on this podcast. We've had this issue many episodes prior, but it's been bad. But today we're going to get into just everything surrounding the draft, the bird's eye view, all that good stuff. We're going to be going over some of the mock drafts and everything like that, and some of the team needs. But first, like I said, we're going to start with the team needs. We're going to rank them. We have three. We're going to rank our top three biggest team needs for the Milwaukee Bucks. And I think that that will just give us a good runway into establishing which prospects are probably the ones to hone in on, and so on and so forth. So beginning this draft coverage, the biggest team need. I would love to hear it from you first. If you got one right off the top of your head,
because there are a few areas
that we need to be sharper in, but the biggest team need for the Bucks.
No, for sure. In my opinion, if we're going to go straight into that, because I think obviously the person that should be addressed, in my basketball standpoint, is like if there's a problem with the starting lineup that has to get fixed. And the problem with our starting lineup is a second guard we're going to pair Dame with. 100%, I think that we need to find that second guard. I'm not sure exactly what role that guard will play. I honestly think like it would be nice if the guard was a scorer on the ball. You know, I think it would be really easy. It would just help, you know, just take offload some of that stuff, you know, on the other three guys, you know, not having to rely on them as much. But I really do think, I think that we need a good defensive sound, like some guy who's going to go out there, going to get stops, 3-and-D type of guy, you know, and that's very, very rare. There's a lot of guys like that in the NBA. There's a lot of guys like that in this draft class. You know, they always say if you can play defense, there's a spot for you on an NBA roster, and I 100% agree with that. So me personally, I just feel like that we definitely do need another guard to pair with Damian Lillard, especially one who is good on the defensive side of the ball. We talked about time and time again, and we've seen it in games this year. Whenever him and Luke Beasley are on the court, it's just so bad. Now, I don't know if you guys have seen all over Twitter, Dame has been talking his ish, bro. He's been on fans' heads. People talking about how he's a trash defender, all this stuff. And he was saying, stop talking about the narratives from the last 10 years. Now that you look up the stats, look up the numbers. But he's been talking his ish, and Dame is heated. So I love that he has that fire. And I think that just shows that he's just more and more more ready. He's just more excited to prove what he can do on the basketball court. So yeah, I think personally, definitely, if we're to adjust one thing with the starting lineup for sure, it's a tandem guard, a guard to put with Dame. Sorry, defensive guard, preferably. If they can score, that's cool. If not, I'm willing to live with that sacrifice.
Yeah, if they can't score, I guess we're fine with it. That's kind of showing you what the depth is like in this draft, right? Like we're getting to the 20s in one of the weakest drafts that we've seen in our lifetime.
And it's funny because saying, "Oh, if you can't, the draft's supposed to be weaker."
I don't know. Maybe depth wise, but I don't know about that.
I talk about mock drafts. Apparently, next year is supposed to be an even worse draft class.
Oh well, okay. Well, but it'll be the one with Cooper Flagg. So the team that gets the top overall pick would surely be happy. Okay, I actually completely agree with you. I don't think anything that you said there was controversial. It was just giving you a hard time about if they could shoot or not, you know. But we need defense at the 1, 2, and 3. Or better defense, like you said. The whole Dame conversation, he was much improved last year. He just needs help, you know. We got Pat Bev, but it looks like we're probably gonna see him walk, go to another team, get paid $4 million instead of the vet men. So he's probably gone. So yeah, we need some defense in the backcourt there. I think that's definitely something that's much needed. That, in my opinion, is number one, because I do think that Brook Lopez is going to be back this year. So I don't think we'll need too much help on the front court. And obviously, when Giannis is out there, it's pretty good. But I would say that second need is probably just another big man. And I think it's a big man who probably, I don't want to say he's like just defensive oriented, but one that is like a more classic big, like almost like a like. Not, I don't want, this is a terrible analogy, but I'm going to throw it out there, okay? You remember what, like, Zaza Pachulia was to the Warriors?
Well, he was just like, rebound, pass, rebound, pass.
Physical body who just was there. I think, like, that is something that this team could use because, like, Lopez is getting, like, what, 5 boards a game or something like that?
Like 4.8 or something crazy.
It's pretty bad, and we had some struggles against that Pacers team when Giannis was out. And just felt thin in the front court. I think a big man who just a classic big man, and obviously if he comes with defense, that's something that'll be good.
Yeah.
Is the right way to go. Because somebody almost the opposite of Brook Lopez, I think, would be really, really helpful to this team. Maybe that's a second round guy. Maybe that's a two-way guy that we sign. But
I think it really just, that's my opinion. No, I think I agree with you totally on the big man's front. I think I would a little disagree on maybe the traditional big man thing, because the only thing I could see, like, the only reason I disagree, right, is because I feel when you look at the teams, right, especially, like, bro, let's just take the two teams in the finals this year. Bro, the Boston Celtics made a huge pickup in Kristaps Porzingis. He really wasn't performing that well on the Wizards. You know, he was injured in and out of games, right? But then they put him into the system, and bro, his first game, like, first of all, game two was tonight. But his first game, dude, he absolutely goes off in the playoffs. That's his first game outside the first round of the playoffs, and that's a crazy first round finals performance, a first game finals performance. But in general, I think, like, more of it just about the system. If they can fit into our system, any player can shine. Look at Daniel Gafford on the Mavericks. He's having an absolutely amazing playoff run right now. He's doing everything he can on the defensive side of the ball, of course, but then again, he's playing Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving. It's a little bit different, but I just think that those two pickups, one was obviously at the start of the season. The other one was a mid-season trade, deadline trade, and Daniel Gafford. And now just look at what he's done for that franchise. You know, he's really propelled them. Derek Lively was an amazing, amazing, amazing pick by that front office. So, yeah, I think that really just depends on the mold and just the fit of the player. You know what I'm saying? I don't think there's really one. I think we're playing in the NBA, especially with the quality of players that we are lucky to have on this Bucks team. Because we do have Damian Lillard, who's a great scorer, and he's also a really good passer. We have Chris Middleton, whose playmaking ability is – obviously, he's getting older. Great mid-range scorer. His playmaking abilities, I think, is very underrated. Giannis' assist numbers have gone up every single year he's been in the league. You know, he's only getting better at finding his options. So I think if we just get a center who can just simply just – I think importantly, hands, most important thing, because there's nothing more impressive that I hate than a center that doesn't catch the ball. That is the most infuriating thing in the world, you know.
It's terrible.
Well, no, yeah, I play basketball, you know, I'm a short guy playing guard, you know, so it's nothing like giving a good pass, and it's like, dude, you drop that, you know. So I think definitely a center who can catch the ball for sure. But yeah, I just think it really just depends on the mold, you know, of the guy. You know, I think there's a lot of centers that we could possibly, especially in this draft class, that could not start next year, maybe a 2-year, 3-year thing could start, which is something that we are gonna get into later. But yeah, I think it really just depends on, like, I don't know. I think it really just a center, yes, but any type of center specifically, I think it's just got to be spacing is just very important. That's the only thing I would really, really want, because especially in the modern day NBA, spacing is one of the most important things in the game, you know. And LeBron and JJ Redick talk about it on their podcast, and it's just like when you like look at it and break it down, it just really like just shows, you know, how much you need spacing, especially for the type of the quality of players that we have. Giannis, who's a player who dominates inside the paint, the last thing I want is another center in there clogging it up with him, you know what I'm saying? So I really think that spacing is important.
I, you know what? Hey, the name of the game is space in the NBA, so I can't really argue with that too much. I'm seeing a lot of centers mocked to us, and we'll get into some of those mock drafts later. Like, that is probably, I would say, that and like a like point guard, like a smaller guard is what I'm seeing a lot of mocks going to. I don't know if I'm happy with either of those for the number 23 pick, but you know, we'll see what comes down the pipe when more draft coverage, we figure out more stuff, who wants who as time goes on. So I would say I'm going to throw out a third need. I think those are definitely our top two.
I agree. I mean, I was going to try and guess what you said, because it's something we've talked about.
I'm interested.
We've talked about on this podcast, you know, time and time again. I think it's just like anyone who could score off the bench, like bench scoring. Is
That's exactly what I was going to say. I think it should probably come from a forward position, because
yes, I love this. This is great right here. I love this. Yes,
because I do actually think Bobby Portis is going to be gone. I think it's just important. We saw Giannis go down, and look, I think I can see like most people saying like, well, we get most of our scoring from the forward position. You know, we got Bobby Portis, we got Chris Middleton, we got Giannis. Like, we have plenty of scoring from the forwards. I think that that's true. I just think we need a bigger body, a 6'6 guy who can shoot the ball, can shoot the ball really well. Like if we had a guy, not relegate him to being a spot up, but I think that's an instant impact player that we can take at number 23. And I think that that is probably what I'm most intrigued by. Hey, look, that might be our third biggest need, right? We might need defense. We might need a classic big man or a big man to give us space. Mm-hmm. But if we chose another guy who, like you said, could give us 3-and-D potential, but like somebody with size, and he could score off the bench, he could give us 9 points a game. Like, look, we said like, hey, we have high expectations for Marjon Bochamp, but look, we have expectations. Andre Jackson Jr., for AJ Green, those guys combined for like 9 points. You know what I mean? I think we could actually get real production. Bless you. I think we could get actual real production from somebody like that if they were to be able to shoot the ball and come off the bench. I think we could be in a situation where we have to replace scoring. I don't want to get too much into that right now when we're just establishing team needs, but that could definitely be a scenario or a case where I'm like, yo, look, like we could get somebody to replace a Bobby Portis.
Facts. I 100% agree. And that's some of the things that we're going to talk about later in the episode as we look at the draft prospects. We got a whole bunch of Macs pulled up for you guys that we're going to show you guys. But heads with, hopefully not too much, but it's going to be great.
Okay, yeah. So let's just get right into it. So I put together before we go, I'm losing my time here. I'm losing my focus. What I wanted to get into before we went through these mock drafts was we have one question that we need to address. We'll talk about it in future episodes more in depth, but just as we go on in this process, this won't affect the rest of the episode, so you can answer honestly, Luca.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Perfect. I love this.
Would you rather trade this pick to get like to package it with something, maybe package it with Bobby Portis to get an impact player like right now as much as you could possibly get? Or do you think that this team needs to build in the future and try to take like best available, most ready, use this pick right now, number 23 in the first round? What would you rather see this organization do?
I'd rather use the pick, to be honest. Cause it's fun. I say that because I was looking at, I say that one because I saw that the Knicks were looking at trading their pick because they're in a win now mentality. And I literally laughed at the notification. I laughed out loud. I was like, that's hilarious. So now I definitely think that we do need to keep this pick. I think that youth is extremely, extremely, extremely important. I think if anything, we could trade one of our young guys that we have, we've already played in the league, establish themselves a little bit, and then, you know, do something with that maybe. But I don't know. I just don't like draft. There's literally 1 to 2 NBA superstars in every single draft class, no matter how you look at it, no matter how you slice it. There's at least 1 to 2 superstars in all those 60 players. And there's a lot of guys who are pretty good in the league. There's just some role guys, you know, but every team needs those role guys too. Doesn't matter. I really think that we should use this pick. And like you said, our team is getting up there in age. I would love to know, like, I should have looked it up before this episode, but like how we rank among the rest of the NBA in terms of age. But it wouldn't surprise me if we were up there with one of the oldest teams in the NBA, especially with Dame Lillard, Chris Middleton, Brooke Lopez. Jay Crowder is up there in age too. He's still on the roster. Patrick Beverley's still on the roster. He's up there in age. You know, we got a lot of old guys on the court. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I think we definitely need to just reinvigorate this team with some youth, you know, and give it life. And I think that's very important. And to have those veterans mentor those young guys, because there is a lot of people. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I think like this draft class is, I guess, weaker, but like these basketball players are just as talented as anybody else out there, you know, playing basketball, you know. So I think that with a little bit of leadership and a little bit, you know, put in the right direction, these guys can become successful and have long, long careers in this league.
I agree. I think we should keep this pick. I say take a swing when you can. Take a swing. Mm-hmm. It's exactly. Free. It's a cheap player. I think it's good for the salary cap. It's smart to take this pick and use it right now.
Exactly.
To go on your youth point really quick before we get into the mock drafts. I had heard somebody say, look, that Bucks fans and people covering the Bucks are conflating youth with speed or defense or, you know, the effort, tenacity, all this other stuff. Like, the Bucks don't need to get younger. They need to get better at those other things. And I think I initially thought, oh, wow, that was a good point. Like, he's right. Yeah. Like, why are we trying to get younger? And then the more that I thought about it, the more I realized that it was just not exactly, it was trying to reinvent the wheel. It was trying to make the point to sound a little bit smarter than it was.
Yeah,
because you got to realize that youth brings potential. Youth brings something different than, yes, this player can do this. And yes, you're not looking at the salary cap situation. There's definitely a few other wrinkles to youth that should be noted. Look, and the guy also pointed out that we would have like five young guys on the roster, you know, with the young guys that we already have. And I was thinking to myself, I was like, when one guy comes in, another goes out. Like this is a revolving door, bro. The NBA is not a charity.
It's a business.
It is a business. And if that player, like I said, can average like 9 points off the bench or something like that we draft, those rest of those guys are getting dealt, or they're getting sent down, or you know what? Like, we're going to find a place for them next season. Like, they're not going to stick around. So I just thought it was, it's just not as well thought out. When people say youth, they mean more than just the age. Like, it's not just simply that. So I feel like that was important to say. But I agree. Mm-hmm. They should use this pick. This is a smart way to go. Hey, look, if there's an offer you can't refuse, so be it. Be a businessman. Do your job, GM. Front office. That's why they're paying you the big bucks. That'll be stuff that we won't see coming. That'll be something that we won't see coming.
But God forbid, I don't know who's good defensive. The defensive guard, I guess. I don't know. Like, bro, Jaden McDaniels comes available. Bro, take the trade, dude. I know he's a three, bro. Slap that man at the two guard, bro. Go play some defense, man. Like, come on,
that's
real.
Yeah, and we don't know who's going to be on the market, but that's a great point. I love that, though. We're on the same page today. We're on the same page. But like we said, we're going to be talking more about, hey, trade possibilities with that pick. See what is available, what we could come up with. We'll have, you know, different draft coverage about just international prospects or just trying to trade this pick, you know, making up trades, all that good stuff. Offseason's in full swing when you know that's the content that we're covering. But first thing I wanted to get into was a bird's eye view of the different candidates, if you will, for the Bucks 23rd pick. Now, the first mock draft that I pulled up is from the AP News.
Okay.
Well, I'm a little bit skeptical initially because, like, the AP News, it's very good at the hard news coverage. But as far as maybe some of the editorials on, you know, the opinion articles, like, this is a very opinionated thing. It's less coverage rather than being like, hey, look, I know who this team's going to pick at number 23, you know, 17 days out of the draft. Like,
yeah.
Like, you don't know, bro.
Yeah, we don't.
Yeah, we're like, we have no idea. Like, they don't even know. So, like, let's be real. But Zach Edey was mocked in that AP News article that was published just a couple days ago to the Milwaukee Bucks. This is in the first round. This is at number 23.
I don't know, man.
That's an immediate no for me. I got to be honest.
Yeah, bro, that's what I'm saying, bro. I just thought it'd be crazy because, like, the guy did win, like, the National Player of the Year 2 years in a row, you know. But, like, dude, like, one thing, like, bro, if you just, bro, look at how his feet move, bro. If he has to go out there and guard, bro, he's getting fried every play, bro. And especially in this league, in this level in the NBA, I just don't think he's going to be able to make that jump, especially going out there and guarding the perimeter guys, you know. But, yeah, no, seriously, like, he's an absolute bucket, you know. He does have size. You know, he does bring a rebounding force, you know what I'm saying? He's a body out there that is absolutely massive, you know? But I think for some reason, I don't know why, but for some reason, when I'm thinking of a center, if we're going to get a center, I'd rather have one who's already been established in the league versus, like, forward or guard, where it's like, all right, I'm much more willing to take a chance on a forward or a guard than I am a center for some reason in the draft. Maybe my way of thinking is incorrect.
I could see that.
I just feel like maybe – I know guards usually struggle their first 2 years in the league more, but I just feel like the upside with them is a lot higher. Like, bro, if we look at, like, Mobley, right, he's doing good now. It took him a long, long time to even get where he's supposed to be. James Wiseman is barely in the league now. You know, like, if we look at the top centers in the past recently that have gone up super, like, you know, I mean, we have the 23rd pick, yeah, but, like, I don't know, man. I'm not really sure how I feel about it. Derek Lively was a sneaky pick in the lottery, you know, but I'm not really the biggest fan of Zach Edey.
I'm not a big fan of Zach Edey either, and I like that you brought up a couple of those names. Hey, Evan Mobley was was pretty good his rookie year, and then it just took a second. Like, he's working with Jared Allen, you know, they're almost like the same player.
Yeah, which is so crazy. Like, JB Bickerstaff is insane for that. He's mentally insane.
Yeah, so it's interesting what they're doing in Cleveland, certainly. We'll see about his growth in the future. I think he's a really good pick. Hey, look, I'd love to have Evan Mobley on the squad. But look, when we're looking at Zach Edey, here is I wanted to read the blurb here. Before you get going. It says, Edey's lack of mobility and perimeter shooting drop him toward the end of the first round, but he's still the first repeat AP National Player of the Year since Ralph Sampson. I think that that's a little bit of a stretch to compare him to Ralph Sampson. I appreciate the it's a fact, though. Yeah. At 7'4", 300 pounds, he dominated the college game and will be a handful even in the NBA. Edey also would get the opportunity to learn from Brooke Lopez once back to the basket big, who expanded his game later in his career.
That is very true.
Yeah, Brooke Lopez was back to the basket, but he just wasn't like – he never really had like the rebounding nature the inside dominant nature that Zach Edey had. So
yeah.
I think that's interesting. Like I said, I would – you know, pairing Brooke Lopez with the classic big man, this kind of fits that mold. So it's like
– yeah.
You know, so it's like, how can I really argue with this? But my biggest thing with Zach Edey is that – I feel like he was great in the college game, but does he fit in the NBA? Like, I feel like we start this draft blurb, this description with his lack of mobility and perimeter shooting will drop him to the end of the first round. I think that's almost probably the two biggest things that I'm looking for in a center right now. Mm-hmm. And I think that will drop him into the second round. I'm more on board with this.
Nah, someone will take him. Some poverty team effort will take him for sure.
I think he's going to the second round. I really do. He's being mocked at. I don't see it, bro. I really don't. I think he's. I mean, maybe shoot.
Interesting. It, Patrick. Get spicy.
I think he will definitely be there at 23. That's all I got. Okay. I'll go. If I have to rein that take in a little bit, if it's really that.
We're
learning draft stuff. We're learning draft stuff just like the next people.
Hey, listen,
I think he'll be there at
23. Bro, say what you mean what you say. Stand on business. I like it. Heck yeah. But I actually wanted to go on to just – I know you had a couple other ones, but I just want to go on just because this guy is his teammate who I would much rather like to have. Tristan Da Silva. I think he is an exciting player, especially at the college level during the tournament. He was so much fun to watch. And on top of that, you know, we were talking about wings, you know, with size. He's got a great frame on him. I think he's a 6'7". He one of the best defensive guys in the college game. He sticks to his man like absolute glue. You know what I'm saying? He's so fast, rotates really well, communicate, like, you see how he talks to his teammates. And on top of that, bro, he shot a 37% clip or better each of his three seasons, and then 78% from the free throw line, and 83% not his teammate. Sorry, he went at Colorado Buffalo, same color. Excuse me, guys, my fault. That's on me. Yeah. That's on me. No, 83% is a sophomore. I think he'd be a super, super, super good option, 3-and-D type of guy. You know, obviously, I don't think he's gonna have that same ball handling possibilities that he had, you know, with Colorado, because he really was the primary ball handler. But I think he gives off this Franz Wagner, like, seriously. They're both from Germany, ironically. But he gives off this Franz Wagner type of feel, you know, that I really am drawn toward. And I'm not saying that I don't think he would start, but I think he's definitely a very, very, very good plug-in for this team to have in the future and going forward. Yeah, man, I would just love to see what he can do, you know. And on top of that, he can shoot. He can shoot the mid range. He can spot up the three. He's really good at slashing to the basket too. Like, and these are some, mind you, this is this information I got from one of the mocks, by the way. On spot up attempts for Buffalo, he's shooting 40%, and then 62% of his shots when he comes off handoffs, and then 42% when curling off a screen, 41% off catch and shoot chances, and 39% off the dribble. Those are such great numbers. It's from so many different areas of the court, and on top of that, 63% clip at the rim. I think that's very, very, very interesting. I don't know if that maybe I'm just, you know, maybe they're feeding me the knowledge, you know, they're trying to get me bite, you know. But I think he's very good.
I like that. A couple points about him before we get to the next mock draft of the next player. Look, he's right now on Take-A-Thon's big board. He's number 19. So we'll see if he's above 23. They have him locked to the Magic. Now, I don't really think that
makes no sense. I need a forward.
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, they don't need a forward. They don't need a 6'9 forward. They don't need a 6'9 forward that does just about what Franz and Paolo does. Literally. But I think he's a really good player. He is a junior. And he just improved from freshman to sophomore to junior, all pack, which rest in peace to Pac-12. But he was he's really good. And I think that, hey, look, he's a foreign-born player. I think that that's another really interesting thing out of Germany.
No, so, for real.
I think that's pretty fun. But I will say, his draft age will be like 23. So I think that's probably his biggest – his biggest thing. We'll see. The next mock draft I did want to get into was Bleacher Reports. Okay. Bleacher Report right now has Carlton Carrington mocked to the Bucks. I think they got him compared to from Nikhil Alexander Walker. They got like those comparisons to him. I think it's really interesting. They have Flip going to the Phoenix Suns prior to our pick. And that was something he was mocked in another draft. So we'll talk about him too. Like, I think that's really interesting because if both those guys are on the board, I don't know who we would pick. Right now they have Carrington from Pitt mocked to a 6'4", 195 freshman. 6'8" wingspan. I think this is really interesting. I'm not saying like that I'm going to like discount him at all. I think that this is a guy I could honestly see us picking.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, and to be honest, like he 6'4", like you said, 6'8" wingspan, and he has a really good shot making ability. And I think that, I don't know, personally, I think in the NBA, right, if you have like the schematics and the fundamentals to be an essentially good defender, I think you can very well make the jump. I think defense is very much a forgotten art, and it's an art that people just overthink it. Like, I'm not gonna lie, it's something that you can learn and something you can adapt to and just get better at over the years. I think that this might be a crazy take, but I say that, right, but I believe it. I think that in the next like 2 years, I think LaMelo will become one of the better, you know, NBA defensive point guards in the league, because we see it with Lonzo. He's got the build. He's got the schematics. He's got the frame. You know, he just puts in the effort, puts in the hustle. And I think LaMelo has that exact same build. The other day, he's 6'7", but even so, 6'4", at a 6'8", wingspan, I think that Carrington has that same capability. He's not really known for his defensive game. He's known as an offensive guy, but I think that he can make that jump defensively. And that, to me, I'm not going to lie, that's one of the most important things to me. I would much rather have, because he's a good passer. Like I said, he's already the three-point shooting guy. So, to me, most importantly, is the defensive side of the ball. That's super, super important. So, yeah, I guess we'll see how that goes.
He also, I will say, struggled to get to the basket. He definitely got the ball poked away a little bit too much. That is something that we got to watch out for, but he's just so athletic, and he performs so well in the shooting drills. Yeah. So I think this is really, really cool. This is really, really interesting, and he's young. We just talked about a guy who's going to be 23. Yeah, this guy's 18. He's a freshman, one and done, so I think it's really interesting. And, hey, sometimes you're drafted for potential. You know, we're at 23. We're going to kind of make it work. This guy is somebody to keep an eye on. But I wanted to move into the I was going to go to the Fox Sports one, but I did want to – no, I just wanted to name another candidate because we have him in the same draft. Mm-hmm. Kyle Filipowski.
Real, yes.
Sophomore.
Yes. Duke. Yep.
He's on the opposite end of the spectrum as Edie. I think he's kind of like a guard trapped in a big's body. I think that's really interesting. He can handle the ball and pick and roll. He's a good playmaker. I think he's got potential with the three. Didn't really show it as much as you would like. I think this is a really interesting guy. I think he might fall into the kind of – I don't know. I think he could end up getting some really bad white – player comparisons, and that will, you know, hurt the draft stock as far as like fans go. But I think he's a really interesting prospect. I really think that he can kind of. I see him as a guy who could come off the bench and be really good for a team. I just don't know what
Look at Isaiah Hartenstein. So I got to say, that man's about to get paid by somebody. But the Knicks may not be able to afford him. But don't worry, somebody gonna pay him. And I love that. I actually really do love the look of that. I think that there's no. I don't think. I really don't think there's a loss in this type of pick. I think like the playmaking ability from that size is already something that stands out a lot. And I think that he can develop that 3-point shot too, because I'm pretty sure he wasn't a great shooter. He wasn't a horrible shooter. Like he shoots the big more often than a lot of other bigs do. So yeah, I think that's something that you know that. You can train that in this league. Shooting is one of those things where you can learn how to shoot the ball, you know. So I think that I think that's a very interesting pick. I don't think I'd be 100% mad. I don't think I'd be mad at that pick, because like I said, man, Hartenstein for the Knicks has been absolutely amazing. Pick and roll situation, pocket passing. Like, bro, the Knicks literally know that once he gets between that top of the circle and anywhere in that painted area, they know he's got that floater down packed. Like, I think it's a really interesting pick, and I'm not mad at it at all if that's how it goes.
You know what's interesting is Bleacher Report has him in this mock draft that we just went over with Carlton Carrington. They have him as a pro comparison to Mo Wagner. I don't like that. I don't think that's right. And I'll say this, you know, his shooting his freshman year was rough, 44% from the field, 28% from three, but he improved and improved his points per game in college. And I just think usually college is just not a place that a lot of players do that. Like, I just feel like you don't get as much opportunity. So sometimes like it just won't come together, but he shot 50% from the field and 35% from three.
That's a lot better. That's a great.
Now you would like his free throws to be better. He shot 67% for the free throw line. That was lower than the year prior. But I really just thought he improved like on all facets of the floor. His draft stock might be lower as the draft comes, though. Like, I think he could fall, just keep falling just a little bit.
And that's just because other players are jumping above him too. Literally with the guy we talked about just before. Carrington.
Carlton Carrington, right?
Yeah. He jumped as of May 30th. He jumped. He was up a little bit because he was ranked 26th on May 30th. Now he's up to 23. So I think that's very possible.
Yeah, very interesting. He doesn't project to be like the number one option like he was at Duke. So I think it's just about what's the kind of potential. Oh well, yeah. Okay, that's fair.
Second,
I would say they're just the main guys there. But he doesn't project to that in the NBA. So we'll see exactly what the Bucks want to do if they want to take a guy with like a lower ceiling. But hey, it's pick number 23, man. We can't get too greedy. But moving into the Fox Sports mock draft that I wanted to mention, because they got Alex Saar falling and they got Zach Edey taking top 10. So I don't know what this draft is. I don't know if this is going to be correct or if everybody looks, man, my draft coverage might be wrong just completely. But they got They got us taking the point guard out of Marquette, Tyler Kolek. I think this is really really intriguing mock draft that they have here. I think this is really unusual. Because they got Saar going 3 to the Rockets, and then they got Donovan Clingan going above him to the Wizards, and then they got Zakari. I don't even know how to say his last name, so I'm not going to butcher it, but they got him going to the Hawks at number 1. We'll see. Yeah. We'll see about that. But they got the Bucks taking Kolek with number 23. They're kind of comparing him to a Jalen Brunson type.
He would fit right in Milwaukee. I'm looking at him now.
Yeah,
man, homegrown guy. I mean, honestly, that class it wouldn't surprise me, to be honest. It would not surprise me at all. But I mean, I guess we'll see. You know, he's got some notoriety to him. You know, he's got a finalist Bob Cousy Award. You know, Big East Player of the Week one time, you know, but he was a unanimous Big East all Big East first team selection. I mean, if I'm being completely honest, I really don't know much about that guy, because I know Marquette, they had another guy that had another guard on their team that was really, really, really good. I can't think of it right now. Well, but no, I mean, I guess we'll see. You know, this season he had his college high in points. He averaged 15.3 points per game on 7.7 assists. That's actually really, really good. But, you know, and I don't know. And I guess we'll just have to see. You know, I wouldn't be mad at the pick, you know, to be honest with you. You know, 3-point percentage, shooting 38% from the three, could be a little bit better. You know, shooting 49.6% from the field. But, you know, honestly, 50% from the field and like almost 40% from the three. It's not something to be completely upset about. I don't know really how good he is defensively. It seems like I'm looking at these numbers right now. It seems like he's got a lot of really good production on the offensive side. Excuse me, on the offensive side of the ball. I just don't really know how well he is on guarding other players who have. That's my biggest thing in college, bro. Like in the NBA, bro, everyone is just as good, just as fast, just as athletic, just as smart as you are. You know, like so. I don't know how that would translate into the next level, but. I mean, I don't know. I think that I could see the pick. I would really just have to see more about Tyler, to be honest with you, before I could really give a proper like in-depth analysis. But he is a homegrown kid from Marquette, so makes sense.
Okay, I have a name pronunciation on the new first overall pick, Zakari Rizashe. Rizashe. I'm so sorry if I'm. Yeah, well, I wanted to look it up because in the next mock draft that we're about to look over Yahoo, that'll be the last one. He's also projected to go number one, so we'll see. I mean, maybe I'm missing out because I thought Sar was that guy, but we'll see because a lot changes coming up in the draft, and this is such an interesting draft because kind of like one of the weakest ones that we've seen in previous history. But I did want to bring up a very interesting thing that I noticed about this Fox Sports draft, and that is at 20, the Cavs are taking Carlton Carrington. At 21. The Pelicans are taking Tristan Da Silva. At 22, the Phoenix Suns are taking Kyle Filipowski. And at 23, they got us taking Tyler Kolek. So that is interesting, I'd say, that all of the guys that we just went over were going right in front of us. So this could be sharp. It could be completely wrong. But I think all of those prospects are right in the wheelhouse of what we might select. So I think that's something that we could look into later. And I thought that was just really interesting. I think that Tyler Kolek is probably so far my favorite guy. I love his playmaking. I thought he just averaged 7.6 assists per game at Marquette. It's something that I thought was really good. Now, can he play alongside Damian Lillard at 6'3"? We'll see. Because his passing is really, really great. But I wanted to get into the Yahoo mock draft here. They got us taking forward Tyler Smith. From the G League Ignite, he's listed 6'11", 224. They are also switching around their top picks in the at the top of the first round. We'll see because they got Tristan Da Silva going to Cleveland at 20, Kolek going to the Suns right in front of us, and then Tyler Smith. They got Kyle Filipowski going to the Knicks, so they got us taking Tyler Smith over Tyler.
Yo, do you know? By any chance, do you know that Jason Leedy guy from San Diego State, the forward? I'm looking at him because he's a senior. I think he's a senior this year. He has 21 points per game, 8.4 rebounds, and 56% from the field. San Diego State, he hooped in the tournament. And I don't know, I was just curious to see if he was last year, he averaged 7.9 points per game. This year, he averaged 21.4. Shot 44% from the three and 56% from the field. He's a senior this year, so I was just curious if he committed to the draft. Because I'm not gonna lie, I think he would be a great pick too. 6'8", 240 out of Houston, Texas forward. I honestly would love to have him. And I remember seeing him during the tournament and thinking like, wow, this guy is really talented. Like this guy can put the ball in the bucket. You know, he scores at will. So yeah, no, I was just curious if he was on the board. I don't think I heard anything about him, so I was just curious.
I'd have to look at some of the other mocks and see exactly what's going on. I don't know off the top of my head, but this one's got us. Yeah, cool. But this one's got us taking Tyler Smith. Here's what the blurb says. Teams that go back and look at film of Smith over his season with the Ignite and previously with Overtime Elite will notice vast improvement in how well his game translates to the next level. It's his consistency and how well he performs during individual workouts that will determine where he falls in the first round. They're still learning a lot about this prospect. That's what I'm getting from that blurb. The G League Ignite has been just kind of a very failed experiment, so to speak. Yeah, it's not something that has been something that the NBA can hang their hat on. So, we'll see what kind of prospects come out of that because we've had different kinds of prospects. Some guys just really raw prospects that just like weren't able to contribute immediately. Yeah. So we'll see if that's exactly where the Bucks want to go. But I think that's another prospect that could be possible at this point in the draft.
The guy you just mentioned, the Ignite guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I just wanted to mention real quick that he wasn't called for the combine, but he tried out with a couple teams in the NBA. But I don't know. I think he's pretty good. He worked out with the Warriors and the Chicago Bulls. But yeah, no, I don't know. I was just curious because his numbers look really good. But yeah, man. Yeah, the G League game night has been a very very skeptical little thing. But then obviously, you know, you got Rob Dillingham was actually on that team for a little bit. That G League Ignite team. And then you got the Thompson Twins were also on that team. And then Jalen Green, I'm pretty sure, was on that team as well. So, I mean, they've got like, you know, a couple of their, like, they've got a couple names out there who have, have made it to the league. You know, the Thompson Twins are really just waiting to see, you know, what they develop into. But I just want to preface this for any of the other Bucks fans listening. Guys, if we do draft a guard, please give it time. Mm-hmm. Relax, calm down. Being an NBA guard is one of the hardest things to do on the planet as it is. No guard is just gonna come. Obviously, you got your Cade Cunningham, who even struggled in his first year. Obviously, you got LaMelo. Obviously, you got, you know, De'Aaron Fox, who's now a superstar, you know, who struggled a couple years in the NBA too. Like, dude. NBA guards is not easy, especially right now at the level of the play that we're seeing. Guards are so skilled at basketball. They are so good on all things. They can all dribble. They can all shoot. They can all pass. So just give it time. And yeah, man, ideally though, my favorite pick that we talked about, I think would be Tristan Da Silva with that option. I think off the bench, he's an immediate spark off the bench, and he just plugs right in, man. He literally, most teams, you could just put him somewhere and he's gonna be able to do something. Like I said, I read the numbers to you, but yeah, man. I think that this draft show has been a lot of fun, man. I had a really good time talking about it.
And we're gonna keep learning about these prospects as we go. We're gonna keep kind of getting into the draft coverage. Look, First time for everything here. We're learning just as everybody else. The draft coverage is a whole nother beast than it is covering the Bucks throughout the season, but we're learning. I really like Tyler Kolek. I've learned a lot about him, and I just think hometown kid, young guy. I think that's something that
sounds like really, sounds really like a TJ McConnell type of guy, to be honest. That's what it's giving me that vibe right now.
And it took time for TJ McConnell to work out, that's for sure, before he got to where he was with the Pacers this year. But that is all the time that we have for today's episode. This has been the Believe in Bucks podcast. I'm your host, Patrick Previty. That's Luke Acosta. We'll see you next time, continuing our draft coverage.
Go Bucks.